Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Hey, mama. If you are a mom and are tired of the wash, rinse, repeat, burnout cycle of motherhood, this podcast is for you. If you feel lonely and isolated in your motherhood journey, this podcast is for you. If you feel like you have completely lost your identity since your babies were born, this podcast is for you. If you feel like every other mom has it together except for you, this podcast is for you. My name is Amanda, and I'm a life coach dedicated to teaching every mom the tools she needs to liberate herself off the back burner. I am living proof that a woman can be present and loving to her kids while also being a whole ass person outside of being that kid's mom. The secret? Learning when to say fuck it.
Hey guys. I hope you guys are having a good week so far. My week's been kind of weird because we went out of town last week for spring break and we got back in really late Sunday. It was very early Monday morning is what it was. So we didn't get back to the house until like 2 a.m. on Monday morning. So it's kind of like just thrown off my whole week a little bit. It just feels weird. It doesn't feel like a typical week. It's hard to get back into the swing of things, right? Like after a vacation or after like just whatever the fuck. And it doesn't help that we also had the bullshit spring forward nonsense 2 weeks ago. I hate daylight savings time so much. And I know like everybody bitches about it every year, but it's the stupidest thing. We are literally just collectively tricking our brains twice a year to thinking it's a different time. And I just hate, like, have like the body adjustment of switching an hour. And then I switched time zones. We went to California for spring break. So like the time saving thing change happened. And then 2 days later, we were in California. Now we're back here on Central Time. So my body's just kind of like, dude, what? I've just been really tired. And we all got sick. Well, most of us got sick in California with some sort of like a cold viral thing. So that was awesome. This is the first time actually in all of my years of traveling with my children that we've all gotten sick like on a trip. Again, most of us, the majority of us got sick. Taking in the big picture, I was like, hey, that's actually kind of impressive that we've gone this long because my oldest is 13 and we've always traveled with the kids. Because before we were in Wisconsin, we lived in California. That's where I met their dad. We got married and started having kids there. And his family was here in Wisconsin. So we were always traveling to one of the states with the kids. So we were long overdue for a good old fashioned family sickness. kind of sucked, but worse things have happened to much better people. So I just chose to work through my thoughts on that and let it go. Cause what the fuck else are you supposed to do? You know? So we did that for spring break. Luckily, before we got sick, we went to go visit my Nana, who is 86. So I'm really glad that we saw her like before we ended up getting sick so that we didn't get her sick and could also see her. And we went to Disneyland. And then that was it. The rest of the time was spent. We stay with my sister and brother-in-law, and they have a pool in the backyard. So the kids were good. They were fine. They just were in the pool, even in the rain. Like Southern California does not get that much rain, which everybody knows, but it rained a couple of times while we were out there. It even started hailing and the kids were still in the pool, like trying to swim through the hail. I was like, I'm calling it. Get the fuck out of the pool. We're not swimming in hail. And then there was like thunder and lightning. I'm like, extra, get out of the pool. We're coming inside now. They're fucking nuts. But it was a fun spring break. As fun as it can be with your plans getting totally, just not totally destroyed. I'm being dramatic. Most of my plans got messed up. I was supposed to go see some friends. And I'm really sad I didn't get to go see them. I miss them terribly. But that's just life, you know? I was happy to get out, just get out of town. Sometimes you just need to like a new, just new scenery, you know? I don't know. It could just feel so, you're just stuck in your routine and the same drive, like my same little drive that I do every single day and same routine. It's just nice to get out of town, right? And especially to see my family and be around family. I got to hear the most interesting story from my Nana when we went to go visit her. My mom eventually came over too, and she asked, how did you meet Mr. Haro? So I don't think I've ever heard that story. And I was so glad that she asked, because I've never thought to ask that, like ask my Nana, how did you meet Grandpa? Because, you know, they were just always together. So I was so glad she asked that. But so my Nana is a Mexican immigrant. She immigrated here when she was 15 with her mother and younger brother. And at that time, the school systems were a lot different. Obviously, this doesn't happen to students anymore, thankfully. We have programs to help kids who are academically with their peers. They just don't speak the language yet. But because my Nana did not speak the language yet, she was still learning English. She could read it, apparently, because the school she was going to in Mexico taught her how to like read English, but she couldn't speak it. They put her as a 15-year-old in the third grade because she couldn't speak English. And I just thought, I was thinking about like, oh my gosh, how embarrassing it must have felt to be a teenager, a 15-year-old girl in the third grade class, and be totally bored probably because of the stuff that the third graders are learning. I mean, aside from just being there to pick up the English, I mean, she didn't need to be in the third grade. She had been going to school in Mexico, went to a good school. Oh God. I just felt like a little bit of like righteous anger on behalf of my past Nana, for having to go through that. But she was determined to get caught up as quickly as possible. So by the time, the school allowed her to take night classes as well as, you know, the day classes. So she was doing that. And so by the time she was 17, she was caught up and back with her class where she should have been. She was a junior in high school, which I thought was very impressive. It only took her 2 years to catch up, considering they threw her like so far back and made her do all of that work. It was so inspiring to hear, like what she had to go through and all the work that she had to do. And she was working too. So she had like a little part-time job in the school office doing, like accounts receivables. And she also was selling, this sounds so gross, bean sandwiches. So Mexican, obviously. She would just like put the pinto beans inside of bread to make like a bean and cheese like sandwich. And the kids at school, like for herself and kids at school, were like, ooh, what's that? And they liked it. And so she would bring extra and sell them in the cafeteria as her little like side hustle while also going to school at night. And that's how she met my grandpa. So she was 17 and he was, I think he was 24, which like hearing this story as an adult. And I did say this like after she was like, when she was in the middle of her story, I was like, wait, I'm sorry. he was a 24-year-old talking to a 17-year-old girl. Hell no. If that was one of my kids, I would have been up that motherfucker's asshole and like, get away from my kid. But it was the 50s. So she met him on the bus when she was going to and from night school. And over time, that, you know, he would talk to her a little bit and they got to know each other. And then eventually she went out for ice cream with him. And eventually, you know, they dated properly, got married, had kids. They were together until he died. But how creepy is that, you guys? Fucking 24-year-old man hitting on a 17-year-old girl on the bus. Like, nowadays, it just sounds so creepy. But it worked out, so I guess it's fine. But, but I was like, Nana, why were you talking to him? He could have had your toes in a jar. And she was just like, mijita, I didn't have any street smarts. I just, you know, didn't know any better. So luckily, it worked out for her. And then she was telling me how she had saved up for this bicycle for her younger brother. There's quite an age gap between her and her brother. I want to say it was at least 8 years, if not a little bit more. And she wanted to buy him a bicycle for Christmas 1 year. And so she put the bicycle on layaway, because that was still a thing back then. And she slowly paid it off with these little side hustle jobs that she had as a teenager. She said, I think I paid like maybe $3 a week on the bike. So it took her a very long time. And then she finally paid it off just in time for Christmas. And she said, oh, my brother was so happy. He was so excited. And then the bike got stolen like a week later. He rode it to like the corner market and left it outside, but didn't have a bike lock because, again, they just didn't have like that, the street smarts of like, you can't trust people. They lived in Los Angeles, California. Like, you can't trust people. Bike fucking got stolen like a couple days or a week later. And she said, I felt so violated. It just felt so deeply personally wrong that someone did that. And I just cried and cried and cried because I had worked so hard to raise up that money for my brother. And oh my gosh, my heart just ached for her because, people suck. But I loved getting those stories from her. And I'm really glad that my mom thought to ask those questions. I definitely want to start getting more stories out of my Nana. She's told me so many stories growing up, as grandmas tend to do. But she's 86 and she won't be around forever. I know she won't, as much as that pains me to think of. And she's had such a wonderful life, and she's had to go through so many trials and tribulations and struggles, and she's so strong. She's so strong. And it's good to have those stories to remind you of where you come from, because that's in my blood, and I want to be able to hold on to that. And it also helps just to know that you're not alone, right? Like, when you're going through hard times and life sucks and people sucks and you just are failing at what you're trying to do, you just can't seem to catch a break. It helps to remember the stories of the people who came before you and to hear stories of other people. Just for the pure sake to know that you're not alone, to know that it's a part of the human experience for everybody. You're not some unicorn that the universe has it out for. You're not struggling extra. So another fun fact about my Nana is she only plays Uno for money. That's it. So it's a $5 pay-in, and we all played Uno, and I paid in for the kids. She would have done a cashless one for the kids, but I was like, it'll be fun. Why not? Even though that meant I had to pay $25 for us all to play Uno. And then Ozzy won the pot. My 7-year-old won $40 at Uno. And I just think that's a little unfair. What the fuck? But also trying to be happy for her, you know, like a good mom would be. But $40, really? We went to Disneyland the next day, and she'd been holding on to her money for most of the day. And then she saw a Mickey Mouse bubble machine, handheld bubble machine thing. Those fucking things are $35. And she was like, ooh, I can afford it. I talked her out of it. I refused. I was like, I'm sorry. I know that this is your cash. I know that you get to spend it on whatever you want, just not this. Because no, we are not spending $35 on a bubble machine. Come on, Disney. That's ridiculous. I know that like all of their prices are ridiculous, but that is particularly ridiculous. So she ended up getting a $5 thing of popcorn. I didn't buy it for her because she had just gotten cotton candy. And then we walked a little bit, like a minute later, and I wanted popcorn. Then she wanted popcorn too. I was like, the fuck? No, finish your fucking cotton candy. Then she decided she didn't like the cotton candy. I was like, extra fuck off. You're extra not getting popcorn. And then she remembered that she had her own money. So she bought herself popcorn. I was like, that's fine. Whatever. It's just not going to be my money. Even though it kind of technically was my money because $25 of that $40 pot came from me. And she bought herself a light up Baymax balloon for $20. So she actually came home with a little bit of change. That balloon was the worst. I'm never allowing them to buy themselves balloons at Disneyland. Luckily, she got it like it was evening. So we didn't have to carry it around for very long, but it was such a pain in the ass, this giant ass balloon, trying to hold it so that like I can see things, but also that she wasn't like hitting other people in the head because we're all like sardines, you know, cattle just fucking walking in these tiny spaces. Balloons at Disneyland. No, thank you. We went to California Adventure, which we don't normally do. We normally just go to Disneyland because park hoppers are obviously more expensive. But also it's kind of hard to like get the most out of your value in one day in two parks. But I really wanted to see the World of Color. And I also didn't want to just do California Adventure because I know that they've done a lot of improvements on that park, but I still don't feel like that park is a whole day on its own the way that Disneyland is. So we decided to do the one-day park hopper because I did the calculation for the two-day park hopper. Oh my God, it was so much more, especially for a family of five. I just couldn't justify it. And then we ended up getting sick. Like I felt sick the next day, like the day after our Disneyland trip. So it all worked out in the end. But I hadn't been to California Adventure since like 2019. So the San Francisco area wasn't there before. It is so fucking cute. Oh my God, they nailed it. And all the food over there is really, really good. Like it's actually really good. And they have a lot of dairy-free options. So I just wanted to throw that out there because it's good to have these insights, especially when you have a food allergy. The food was really good in San Francisco. Definitely recommend. And I highly recommend World of Color. All of my kids were just like, what is it? Why are we doing this? I don't really want to. It sounds kind of boring. And I was like, you guys are just going to have to suck a bag of dicks. We're doing it. Like I'm not going to explain it. It's going to be super cool once you are like there seeing it. We're doing it. But it really sucks when you're trying to share something that's special to you with your kids and they're being assholes and they're just like, I don't really understand it. So no. Or they're like whining or like dragging their feet or just any pushback. And it's like, you assholes, trying to share something that was special to me from, you know, my life before I had all of you assholes, and you're being assholes. Why? Why can't you just trust me? I'm your mom. That sucks, doesn't it? I don't know why kids have to be so difficult. We did World of Color. We were able to get into the virtual queue. So here's another like little Disney tip. If you're ever going to do any of the parks, get the app. You pretty much have to at this point, because there's some restaurants that you can only order food through the Disneyland app. Make sure to put your phone on power save mode. I forgot to do that this time, and my battery was like dead by dinner time. It was super fun. But oh, right. World of Color. So at noon, the virtual queue opens up on the app. And so you can get your party into the virtual queue for World of Color. That does not guarantee you a good spot, though. That just allows you to enter into, so like they section off like the good areas to watch the show. And then it allows you to enter into that area. You still need to show up like at least 45 minutes before the showtime, go into, you know, that viewing area to get a good spot within the good viewing area. There are spots for you to just stand and watch without entering the virtual queue. You just won't be able to see the show that well. And it's so good. It's projections on water. So they're shooting water up and then putting projections on. There's fire elements, there's color elements. It's just really, really cool. It's kind of hard for me to describe properly because there really isn't anything else like it. It's amazing. It's just amazing. And it's moving. And it's super fun. And all of my kids enjoyed it, which I enjoyed throwing into their faces. I was like, you guys were bitching all day long about having to take time out of our evening to go do this, and you enjoyed it. So maybe just trust me next time. Kids are ridiculous. My oldest, Eowyn, she's 13. After World of Color, we went on the swings, and then California Adventure was closing. The younger three wanted to go back to Disneyland. My sister was done. My mom was done. And Eowyn was done too. She was like, I don't want to. I'm tired. I'm like, you're 100. What happened to you? That's crazy. So I ended up staying with the younger three until midnight. We went back to Disneyland, and Eowyn and my mom and my sister went back home. And we rode on Thunder Mountain like 4 times in a row. And we also were able to squeeze in Star Tours in the last 2 hours of the park being open. Because we just kept like getting off Thunder Mountain and going back into the line and then getting off and going back into the line. And those three had so much fun. And when I asked them what was their favorite part of Disneyland, they were all like, Thunder Mountain. So that was really special, because I know that they're going to hold on to that memory forever of that time we went to Disneyland and mom stayed until midnight and let us go on Thunder Mountain over and over and over again until the park closed. I was happy to be able to do that for them, even though I did get tired. After like the second time, I was like, we should have left too. But it also like reminded me of being a teenager. We had annual passes, my sister and my mom and I. During summer break, there would be some times when we would go to the park. We wouldn't get there until 9:30, 10 p.m. because after the fireworks, most people leave. And so we would go there for just those last 2 hours of the park being open, because the lines are significantly shorter. And so it was very nostalgic for me to like kind of be doing that with my younger three kids. That was a fun time. It was so much more affordable back then. An annual pass with no blackout dates, with parking included, and you got a 10% discount on anything that you bought inside the park, was $300 when I was a teenager. And it's laughable. It's just laughable, because that won't even buy you two, well, maybe on certain days, it'll buy you 2 1-day tickets to one park now. Inflation is a fucking bitch. Speaking of inflation, why are groceries so expensive? Why are groceries so expensive? I swear to God, I'm going to have to figure out like gardening and we're all going to have to become vegetarians soon because I cannot with my grocery bill right now, you guys. I don't know how we're expected to feed our families with how expensive food is. Laurel and my 8-year-old, she went to Target with her stepmom and she was video chatting me like what she bought. She still has some birthday money left over. And she bought herself a thing of gum and it was like a container of gum. It was that Icebreakers. I don't remember what kind of gum. It doesn't matter. It's gum. It was $5. She was like, Mom, this thing was $5. $5. Like, when the kids are mad at the inflation rate, it's bad. Like when the kids are noticing, you know it's bad. $5 for a container of gum. But my point that I made to her was like, but you still bought it? Like, why did you buy that $5 container of gum? Because she wanted it. I think she was starting to regret it though. That one is very stingy with money. She always has been. It's been very entertaining for me to watch because she'll have a gift card and I'll take her to the store and it's like the longest shopping trip ever because she will just agonize over what is the right thing. Does she really, really want this? I don't know if it's worth the $30. It's like, Laurelyn, you're not actually paying for it. Like you have a gift card and the gift card is for $50. So just get it. She's like, yeah, but that's like most of my money. And these are conversations I was having with her as like a 6-year-old. I'm like, what is wrong with you? How are you like this? I don't understand. She's a hoot. On our way out to California, we got like the line to get on the plane got like stagnant and just stopped in the, what is that thing called? That like tubey thing, the like really long hallway that leads you from the airport to the plane. You know, the thing that like retracts and stuff when the plane is gone. I don't know what the fuck that thing is called, but we got stuck in that thing. And the girls and I were just chatting and the woman in front of me was, I could tell she was like passively like listening to our conversation and like giggling at whatever stupid shit the girls were talking about. And she eventually turned back at me and she was just like, are all of these kids yours, mama? And I'm like, yes. She's like, God bless you. You are doing the Lord's work. And it's like, this is going to sound like soup. It's going to sound really arrogant, but I forget how amazing I am. I'm so used to the chaos. I'm so used to 4 against 1. I was a single mom before I was a single mom, even when I was married. It's just been my life for so long. I kind of forget that most other people, I should probably say just normal people, look at being a single mom with 4 kids in general. It's just like, how? But then like traveling with 4 kids on your own, like most people just would opt out of that. They absolutely would not do that. Cause it just sounds too stressful and overwhelming. And it is. Like, no lie. But yeah, I just kind of forget, I guess, how ludicrous I look walking out in the wild with all of my crew until a stranger like comments on it. It just makes me laugh. Yes, traveling with children is different than traveling by yourself. That's the understatement of the year. But I've gotten really good at managing my mind. And that's really the answer. I know that's always my answer to everything you guys ever hear me talk about, but it's the truth. Because this time was especially particularly crazy because we had a competition the weekend before we left, and it was a 3-day competition. So we competed Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Minneapolis, and then we left for California on Monday. I did make it like a late afternoon flight. I think our flight left at three. I left at 3 on Monday. But we didn't pack until Monday morning because there was just no way that I was going to pack that in advance. And it just doesn't stress me out. I just was like, whatever. I'm also the type of traveler where it's just like, I'm not going to panic if I've forgotten something, unless that something is my phone or my wallet, you know, with my ID, then I'm going to panic. But aside from that, you just kind of have to roll with it, right? That's just kind of the experience of traveling. Like it's really not about having all of the comforts of home with you, because otherwise you would just stay home. So I'm definitely the type of traveler where it's just like, as long as I have my phone and my wallet, I can figure everything else out. Will it suck? Yes, but I can figure it out. And even the wallet thing, I once lost my ID while traveling out to California. It got lost in TSA because I just like threw it in the bin to go through the X-ray thing, because you can't have it in your pockets. And I was juggling a toddler, and I was like, I don't want to try to put it into my bag right now. She's going to run away from me. I'm just going to put it in the bin. And then I forgot it at the fucking airport. So I got to California, and I don't remember at what point I realized I didn't have it. It wasn't right away. but it was soon enough in the trip. And I had to like get online and get some sort of like temporary like ID thing that I printed out. It just barely worked out, fortunately. But see, even that, like, you can figure it out. But this time it was a little bit more stressful than normal, just because of having a competition the 3 days right before. But you know, you just get through it one day at a time. I'm always just like one foot in front of the other. The problems that I have right now, not the problems that I foresee for tomorrow. And one competition at a time, one number at a time, just yeah, one fucking day at a time. And trusting myself to figure out whatever happens, whether it's something that I could have prevented, or something that just blindsides you, you know, just trusting yourself to figure everything out. And my kids kind of just follow suit. I think kids in general just are following our lead most of the time. My kids just travel well. We've been doing it since they were babies, so they're used to it. And I refuse to allow myself to get to high stress levels. When I do start to get stressed, I have the tools to calm myself back down. I always choose to let go of whatever thing that my brain is like freaking out over. Because ultimately, freaking out about it doesn't actually help you solve it. It significantly reduces your ability to problem solve and think creatively. We just get through it and we have fun. I can't say I was trying to watch, because I did end up watching it, Oppenheimer, on the flight out there. But I was sitting next to Aria and Oswin, who are my second and fourth children. They're also the most talkative children and most anxious children. So they have the most questions. They interrupted me so many times, and most of it didn't need to happen. It was a very frustrating movie watching experience. But honestly, it's my own fault, because like, I know my children. And if I had changed my mindset to like going into it with like, I might not finish this movie, I'm going to get interrupted a bunch of times, just being okay with it, I would have gotten a lot less frustrated than I ended up getting. I did end up landing on that mindset. Wish I had like started myself there. It would have been would have been a better experience for me. Their fucking skincare obsession is a problem though. Like Aria in particular, she had her own travel cosmetic bag, and it all of the skincare that they insisted on bringing, it ended up putting the main checked suitcase that we had over by like 5 pounds. It was ridiculous. Luckily we had the carry-on bag, so I was just shoving clothes. But then I was looking at like the volume, you know, of the suitcase, the big suitcase, and it was not being utilized properly at all just because of the weight of the fucking skincare. I hate this trend that's all over the place, getting the kids all into skincare. Like, great that you care about taking care of your skin, but to the point of obsession, it's literally weighing down my suitcase, and I'm not okay with it anymore. Oh my gosh. Speaking of skincare, so we have this tradition of making homemade movies with my sister and my brother-in-law. This started, honestly, it started with my sister before she was married. She was visiting us and the kids wanted to like write this story, and she filmed it for them and edited it together. And so we've just been doing them ever since. And so this time, because again, we were sick, I've been watching Orange is the New Black, because I had watched it back in like 2019. I'd started it and then just never finished. I don't even think I had finished the first season. So I'm going back to that and enjoying it. I really like that show. And so I was telling the girls like the basic premise of Piper going to jail for something she did a while ago and blah, blah, blah. And so they went off of that. And so they called it Pink is the New Black. It was about Laurelyn getting arrested because she flipped her shit in Sephora and yeah, got sent to prison for it. And then she was trying to like smuggle skincare into the prison. It was so funny and ridiculous. I played the leper, which I was very happy about because I felt very sick that day. So all I had to do was just lie on the floor, and there was just a shot of them walking past me and a throwaway line about how, oh yeah, that's just the leper. She's going to die soon. but we also like, my daughter, Eowyn, has gotten pretty good at editing. And so she put together, we shot our own version of the Orange is the New Black intro with that Regina Skeptor song, the animal, trap, 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 like an animal, with like just shots of like, you know, our mouths and eyes and intercutting them and stuff. And it made me so happy. It was a lot of fun to watch. Just stupid shit that you do to pass the time. And my sister was like, so crazy with technology, because like we never got to do stuff like this. And I was like, yes, we did. And I had to remind her of how when we were kids, we used to take our stuffed animals and Barbies behind the couch with a fairy tale book like open on the floor, and we would make our dad record our plays with the VHS tape recorder that he had. So I was like, we totally used to do stuff like this. It's just we weren't really writing our own scripts, and it was shot on a crappy VHS recorder. It's crazy how much technology has grown just in my lifetime. And my Nana was actually talking about that too. She's like, in my lifetime, it has been a tremendous shift. she grew up in Mexico, and she was like, We didn't, I mean, there was radios, but there was only a few stations. Like, no one had a TV. And now I carry around this mini computer in my pocket. It's insane. I can't even with the shifts in technology. And it's really interesting to think about, like, the shifts that our kids are going to see. But I also wonder if it's going to be quite as dramatic. I think, like, this last three generations probably saw, like, the most dramatic shifts. And now it's just going to be a matter of it just continuing to improve. I know they'll come out with new things, but I don't know. It's craziness, guys. So that is what I have been up to. I was spiraling in mind drama before I finally hit record, because I was like, I don't know what to talk about on the podcast. I want it to be valuable. And just spinning out in general in my head with my business, as brains do. And then I finally just landed on the thought, like, well, I asked myself, like, okay, what would I like to hear? And I really like hearing other people's just real life stories. I find it so inspiring just to listen to someone else living authentically. And the thought that I landed on was just like, I'm going to trust that my story, just my everyday life story, is inspiring. And that is what people need to hear this week. Because sometimes that's all you need. I know that I overcomplicate things. And so if you are spiraling about something, overthinking something, just show up. Just show up and be yourself. Show up and trust that your story is powerful. Like, there's so much power in everybody's story, and the world needs your story in whatever fashion it is you're feeling called to share it in. And so that's my story for this week. Just being a single mom with four kids, traveling, for spring break after a crazy competition weekend, getting sick on vacation, and coming back and still having the mindset of, like, it was great. I had a great time. 'Cause we always get to choose our experiences. We always get to choose, our mindset through all of it. We get to choose what kind of story we're telling. And my story is a great one. And it's hard and it's stressful and it's chaotic. That's just life, though. You know, no matter your position, whoever you are listening to this, might be technically different in a few spots. Your life is still crazy and stressful and chaotic. That's just life. It doesn't mean that there's a problem. Just means that you're living a very human experience. So have grace with yourself and your human brain as you navigate this crazy, stressful, chaotic, beautiful, wonderful, messy, glorious life that you have. And I'll see you next week.
Are you living your one wild life to the fullest? You're not? Why the fuck not? What are you waiting for? The time to live is now, mama. Do not wait until your youngest is in college. Let your dreams hire me for an hour so I can explain how I can help you achieve any goal in your life. You've put yourself off long enough. It's time to pour into you. The link to schedule your 60-minute complimentary consultation is in my show notes. Join the community of Fuck It Moms by following me on Instagram and Facebook at Fuck It Mothering. That's fuck without the U. So F-C-K It Mothering. Make sure you subscribe to my channel so you never miss your weekly encouragement. And please rate, review, comment, and share. All of these things help with the algorithms, so that way when other overwhelmed moms are looking for encouragement, they can find me. Every month, I give away one of my favorite books and a Starbucks card to a lucky winner. All you have to do to enter is write a review or tag me in social media when you share an episode. See you next Sunday, gorgeous.